I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor. I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, and I don't like it one bit. Well, what do you know? It's nibbling my toe. Oh, gee, it's up to my knee. Oh, my, it's up to my thigh. Oh, fiddle, it's up to my middle. Oh, heck, it's up to my neck. Oh, dread, it's up to my...
Time when people talked, said what they meant. Now they talk and doesn't mean a thing. It's called a modern talk. And now picture the scene. The day is sunny. A man meets a friend and asks him for some money. He says, I need five to keep me alive. And the friend gives him this kind of jive. He says, I can't make it fast. See you later. Till then, and he's right back out on the street again. And then a girl gets on the phone and talks to her lover. She says, we got troubles that we can't keep covered. I just got the news, I'm knitting baby shoes. Now call up the preacher and pay your dues. He says, see you later, so long, so long. Some songs, I can't stand baby. Now long, till then, and she's right back out on the street again. And then a guy gets grabbed by an army recruiter. He says, we're gonna put you in a khaki suit. So do not cry and don't you lie, but take this test to qualify. The guy says, right back on the street again. And then a lady goes down to see her psychiatrist and lies on the couch to give her little head a twist. Now, is it a psychosis or is it a neurosis? A doctor gives her this diagnosis. Sing a song, $20. Now, here's some songs in the vaulting. I'm some till next Wednesday, then with songs in, songs up, run your clothes, find songs in. She's right back out on the street again. And then the preacher's in the church, they're blessing and damning. President standing there just Vietnaming while the animals sing and politicians swing. And everybody's saying the same damn thing. They're saying, you know that's modern talk.
Shel Silverstein with his song Modern Talk. Before that, you heard him reading from his famous collection of children's verse, Where the Sidewalk Ends. Welcome to the program, everyone. This is Connecting the Notes, and over the next hour, we will be diving into the world that Shel Silverstein created. Silverstein was an artist who tried his hand at many different crafts. He was a cartoonist, author, screenwriter, songwriter, musician, and poet. Silverstein was born on September 25th, 1930, in the city of Chicago. At a young age, he found solace in reading and drawing cartoons. As he said in his famous Publishers Weekly interview in 1975, quote, when I was a kid, 12, 14, around there, I would much rather have been a good baseball player or a hit with the girls, but I couldn't play ball, I couldn't dance. Luckily, the girls didn't want me. Not much I could do about that. so I started to draw and to write. I was also lucky that I didn't have anyone to copy, be impressed by. I developed my own style. I was creating before I knew there was a Thurber, a Benchley, a Price, and a Steinberg. I never saw their work till I was around 30. By the time I got to where I was attracting girls, I was already into work, and it was more important to me. Not that I wouldn't rather make love, but the work has become a habit. End quote. After graduating high school, Silverstein enrolled in college. His time there was interrupted by the U.S. government drafting Silverstein into the service in 1953. Shull would later say that he would never have graduated college anyway. After basic training, he was sent overseas with the Navy, where he served as an editor for Pacific Stars and Stripes, a GI magazine. He began drawing cartoons, which were a hit with the servicemen, and continued to publish them for the publication until his discharge in 1955.
Said General Clay to General Gore, "Really must we fight this silly war? To kill and die is such a bore." "I quite agree," said General Gore. Said General Gore to General Clay, "We could go to the beach today and have some ice cream on the way." "A grand idea," said General Clay. Said General Clay to General Gore, "We'll build sandcastles on the shore." Said General Gore, "We'll splash and play." "Let's leave right now," said General Clay. Said General Gore to General Clay, "But what if the sea is closed today? And what if the sand's been blown away?" "A dreadful thought," said General Clay. Said General Gore to General Clay, "I've always feared the ocean spray, and we may drown." "It's true, we may. It chills my blood," said General Clay. Said General Clay to General Gore, "My bathing suit is slightly tore. We'd better go on with our war." "I quite agree," said General Gore. Then General Clay charged General Gore as bullets flew and cannons roared. And now at last, there is no more of General Clay or General Gore.
Discharged from the Army, Shull moved back in with his parents in Chicago. Shull's father, Nathan Silverstein, had little patience for his son's cartoons, and much of Shull's time at home was spent clashing with his father. When he wasn't home, he was making his rounds around Chicago, pitching his cartoons to magazines and other publications.
"My dad gave me a dollar bill, 'cause I'm his smartest son, and I swapped it to Mort for 2 shiny quarters, 'cause 2 is more than 1. And then I took the 2 quarters and I traded them to Lou for 3 dimes. I guess he don't know that 3 is more than 2. And then just along come old Blind Bates. And just 'cause he can't see, he gave me 4 nickels for my 3 dimes. 4 is more than 3. And then I took the nickels to Hiram Coombs down at the seed feed store, and the fool gave me 5 pennies for them. 5 is more than 4. And then I went and showed my dad, and he got red in the cheeks and closed his eyes and shook his head. Too proud of me to speak."
Shull got his first break from Hugh Hefner, who was about to publish the first issue of Playboy magazine. After looking over his work, Hefner purchased several of Shull's cartoons and cut the artist a check after just their second meeting. Shull later recounted the meeting, saying, quote, "I thought it wasn't just a coincidence that he happened to give me the check at 5 minutes to 5 on Friday. I thought, of course, not only will the check not be good, but when I get back, he won't be there." Silverstein wound up contributing to Playboy for over 20 years. His initial popularity with the magazine led to a series of travelogues, which found Silverstein being sent all over the world to draw and caption his observations in humorous one-frame cartoons. The gig at Playboy gave Shull the security he needed to live the free lifestyle he craved. From this point on, Shull would spend his time constantly moving, coming and going as he pleased, answering to no one, trying whichever art form might call to him, and remaining a bachelor for his entire life.
"Okay, everybody can stay! The show must go on!" Yeah. she didn't do that with you. Now does she love me?
No!
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm satisfied with my girl. She does! Yes, yes, I'm satisfied with my girl! And tonight we're gonna...
No, you won't!
Oh, yes, we will!
Oh, no, we won't!
Oh, but I'm satisfied with my girl! She takes a bath about every week, she's clean as she can be, and she ain't got no...
She sure does!
Oh, she didn't get that from me, now does she love me?
Hell no!
Yes, yes, yes,
hell
yes! Come on! Yes, I'm satisfied!
That song was called Satisfied With My Girl off of Shel Silverstein's first album, Hairy Jazz, released in 1959. At this time, Shel was in his second year of contributing to the Playboy magazine and had released two collections of cartoons. Hairy Jazz was produced by Jack Holtzman, founder of Elektra Records, who was trying to his hand at jazz recordings at the time, a goal he later gave up in favor of folk music. He recorded the album with the Red Onion Jazz Band. Shel went on to record several more albums and also caught on as a songwriter in Nashville and elsewhere. Among the artists who performed his songs were Johnny Cash, Loretta Lynn, the Irish Rovers, Bobby Bear, Waylon Jennings, and Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. Those musicians found more commercial success with Silverstein's songs than Shel himself ever did. Not that Shel was looking for a number one hit. As he told Publishers Weekly in 1975, quote, "I think that if you're a creative person, you should just go about your business, do your work, and not care about how it's received. I never read reviews because if you believe the good ones, you have to believe the bad ones too. Not that I don't care about success, I do, but only because it lets me do what I want. I was always prepared for success, but that means that I have to be prepared for failure too. I have an ego, I have ideas, I want to be articulate, to communicate, but in my own way. People who say they create only for themselves and don't care if they are published, I hate to hear that talk like that. If it's good, it's too good not to share. That's the way I feel about my work. So I'll keep on communicating, but only my way." Here are a couple songs written by Shel Silverstein. 25 Hours to Go, performed by Johnny Cash at his historic Folsom Prison show. And Put Another Log on the Fire, performed by Tom Paul Glasser.
Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell, and I've got 25 minutes to go. And the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell. I got 24 minutes to go. Well, they gave me some beans for my last meal with 23 minutes to go. But nobody asked me how I feel. I got 22 minutes to go. Well, I sent for the governor and the whole darn bunch with 21 minutes to go. And I called up the mayor, but he's out to lunch. I got 20 more minutes to go. Then the sheriff said, boy, I'm gonna watch you die with 19 minutes to go. So I laughed in his face and I spit in his eye with 18 minutes to go. Now here comes a preacher for to save my soul with 13 minutes to go. And he's talking about burning, but I'm so cold. 12 more minutes to go. Well, they're testing the trap and it chills my spine. 11 more minutes to go. And the trap and the rope, all they work just fine. 10 more minutes to go. waiting for the pardon that'll set me free, with 9 more minutes to go. But this ain't the movie, so forget about me. 8 more minutes to go. With my feet on the trap and my head in the noose, 5 more minutes to go. Won't somebody come and cut me loose? 7 more minutes to go. I can see the mountains, I can see the sky, but 3 more minutes to go. And it's too darn pretty for a man to wanna die, but 2 more minutes to go. I can see the buzzards, I can hear the crows, 1 more minute to go. And now I'm swinging and here I go. Oh, 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 oh.
Put another log on the fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans. And go out to the car and change the tire. Wash my socks and sew my old blue jeans. Come on, baby, you can fill my pipe. And then go fetch my slippers. And boil me up another pot of tea. Then put another log on the fire, babe. And come and tell me why you're leaving me. Now don't I let you wash the car on Sunday. Don't I warn you when you're getting fat. Ain't I gonna take you fishing with me someday. Well, a man can't love a woman more than that.
Ain't I always nice to your kid sister. Don't I take her driving every night. So sit here at my feet, 'cause I like you when you're sweet. And you know it ain't feminine to fight. So put another log on the fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans. Go out to the car and lift it up and change the tire. Wash my socks and sew my old blue jeans. Come on, baby, you can fill my pipe. And then go fetch my slippers. And boil me up another pot of tea. Then put another log on the fire, babe. And come and tell me why you're leaving me.
Put Another Log on the Fire and 25 Minutes to Go, both of those songs written by Shel Silverstein. Shel Silverstein's successful Playboy cartoons gave him the ability to embrace the freedom he craved. He was notorious for coming and going as he pleased. He would stay at the Playboy Mansion in Chicago for weeks on end, only to jet down unannounced to Tennessee, and then over to San Francisco, where he owned a houseboat. He also owned a small cottage in Oak Bluffs, Martha's Vineyard, and a place in Key West, Florida. None of these homes were extravagant and were described by those close to Shel as workshops, lined floor to ceiling with old books and papers, drawings and notes spread out everywhere. As he told Jean F. Mercier for Publishers Weekly in 1975, quote, "I'm free to leave, go wherever I please, do whatever I want. I believe everyone should live like that. Don't be dependent on anyone else, man, woman, child, or dog. I want to go everywhere, look and listen to everything. You can go crazy with some of the wonderful stuff there is in life." As he told Aardvark magazine in 1963, quote, "There are people I know who claim to be pretty independent people. In other words, they don't go to work. They don't earn any money, they don't contribute anything, but they don't really want to. Nobody tells them what to do and they consider themselves free. I don't consider this freedom if you can't afford to go to the South Side. I don't consider this freedom if you're living in a city surrounded by people who are all living a certain way and all you have is the freedom not to live their way. To me, freedom entitles you to do something, not to not do something. But if a person doesn't want to do anything, wants to dress and act in a certain way, I think they have an absolute right to do it. I believe that if you don't want to do anything, then sit there and don't do it. but don't expect people to hand you a corned beef sandwich and wash your socks for you and unzip your fly for you. You have to do that for yourself. If you want to live on a flagpole, well, okay, but when the wind comes, don't moan. All I complain about is the crying.
Friendship. I've discovered a way to stay friends forever. There's really nothing to it. I simply tell you what to do, and you do it. Now, this song is a song about a guy who builds himself something that I have often thought about building myself. But naturally, it's fantasy, but it would be so groovy, be so great, if you could really do this. Hey, boys, you know, once I was took in by a girl with a twinkly eye. And the first time that I wasn't looking, she ran off with a handsomer guy. Oh my, but I'm an ingenious feller, yeah. So as soon as my brain got uncurled, I tiptoed right down to my cellar, and I built a mechanical girl. Oh, her arms are iron, her legs are steel, her hips are on wires attached to a wheel, and her spine is a coil that I now and then oil. She's my ever-loving machine. She has no trouble making her mind up, for I did not give her a mind. And her heart is a clock that I wind up, so I know that she'll love me in time. Oh, she never complains when I stay out all night. She never complains I'm not rich. And each time I want her to cuddle me tight, I simply turn on her switch. Oh, her arms are iron, her legs they are steel, her hips are on wires attached to a wheel, and her spine is a coil that I now and then oil. She's my ever-loving machine. Oh, each night I come home and she's sitting so sweet and serene by the fire, smiling and quietly knitting little garments of soldering wire. Oh, my love is completely electric, and she gives me a shock with each hug. And when the romance gets too hectic, I simply pull out the plug. Oh, she always did what she was supposed to, right up to this evening, but then she had an affair with the toaster, and they ran off and left me again. The little boy and the old man. Said the little boy, "Sometimes I drop my spoon." Said the little old man, "I do that too." The little boy whispered, "I wet my pants." "I do that too," laughed the little old man. Said the little boy, "I often cry." The old man nodded, "So do I." "But worst of all," said the boy, "it seems, grown-ups don't pay attention to me." And he felt the warmth of a wrinkled old hand. "I know what you mean," said the little old man.
You're listening to Connecting the Notes. I'm your host, Matthew Ray, and we are celebrating the life of Shel Silverstein this hour on the show. You may best know him for his collections of children's poetry, Where the Sidewalk Ends and A Light in the Attic. There were also enormously popular books, The Giving Tree and Lefkadio, The Lion Who Shot Back. Shel Silverstein had to be talked into writing for children. His friends stated that he had little patience for kids, but that his free spirit and spontaneity naturally drew them to him. In the biography A Boy Named Shel, written by Lisa Rogak, Sarah Sweeney McCann, the daughter of one of Shel's army buddies, recalls his visits, saying, quote, "When he showed up, it was like Christmas. He was always so great with us. He'd put my little sister on his lap and tell us stories and draw pictures. He was like the world's best uncle. To me, he was so much larger than life. He was always physically the greatest presence in the room, regardless of who else was there." Shel despised happy endings. As he told the Wisconsin State Journal in 1999, The child asks, "Why don't I have this happiness thing you're telling me about?" He comes to think, when this joy stops, that he failed and that it won't come back. Shel's sense of humor and use of satire actually got his collection Where the Sidewalk Ends banned from certain school districts. His mere association with Playboy magazine was enough to have his work scoffed at by parents. As Shel told Studs Terkel during a radio interview, quote, "Kids don't buy books, mothers buy books. So if you give a mother something that she considers charming and ideally what kids want, she'll buy it. There are a lot of middle-aged women writing children's books and a lot of middle-aged women buying them, so they are really writing for each other." Here's a sampling of some of the poetry that may have raised the concerns of some parents.
How do we tell if a window is open? Just throw a stone at it. Does it make a noise? It doesn't? Well, it was open. Now let's try another. Well, that one wasn't. Now let's try another one. Yes. Kidnapped. This morning, I got kidnapped by three masked men, and they stopped me on the sidewalk and offered me some candy, and when I wouldn't take it, they grabbed me by the collar and pinned my arms behind me and shoved me in the back seat of this big black limousine and tied my hands behind my back with sharp and rusty wire and then put a blindfold on me so I couldn't see where they took me and plugged up my ears with cotton so I couldn't hear their voices and drove for 20 miles or at least for 20 minutes and then dragged me from the car down to some cold and moldy basement where they stuck me in a corner and went off to get the ransom, leaving one of them to guard me with a shotgun pointed at me, tied up sitting on a stool. That's why I'm late for school.
When you spit from the 26th floor and it floats on the breeze to the ground, does it fall upon hats or on white Persian cats? Or on heads with a pity pat sound. I used to think life was a bore, but I don't feel that way anymore. As I count up the hits, as I smile and I sit, and I spit from the 26th floor. La 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 chapu, de la la chapu, la la chapu.
How not to have to dry the dishes. If you have to dry the dishes, such an awful, boring chore. But if you have to dry the dishes instead of going to the store, if you have to dry the dishes and you drop one on the floor, then maybe they won't let you dry the dishes anymore.
Thank you for listening to Connecting the Notes. You can visit us online at www.connectingthenotes.com. There you can find a schedule of shows, contact info, and an archive of all of our old programs.
You'll like this, adults. It's dirty.
Hey, when I was a lad in a fishing town, an old man, he said to me, "You can spend your life, your jolly life, just sailing on the sea. Now you can search the world for pretty girls till your eyes are weak and dim, but I don't go swimming with a mermaid, son, if you don't know how to swim. If you don't know how to swim, for her hair is green as seaweed, and her eyes are blue and pale. And I'll tell you now before you start, you can love that girl with all your heart, but you're just gonna love the upper part. You're not gonna like the tail. Rock-a-dock-a-doo-doo, rock-a-dock-doo, rock-a-dock-a-doo-doo-dock-doo-doo. So I signed on to a whaling ship, and my very first day at sea, I seen a mermaid in the waves reaching out to me. "Come and live with me in the sea," said she, "and down on the ocean's floor I'll
show you a million wondrous things you've never seen before. Oh, you've never seen before. So over I jumped and she pulled me down, down to a seaweed bed and a pillow made of a tortoise shell she placed beneath my head. She fed me shrimps and caviar upon a silver dish. From her head to her waist, she was just to my taste, but the bottom part was a fish. Oh, her bottom part was a fish. Yes, her hair was green as seaweed. Her eyes were blue and pale. And I loved that girl with all my heart. I vowed we'd never part, but I knew that that was not too smart, 'cause I did not like the tail. And then one day when I looked up, I saw a sailing ship, and I met the stare of a millionaire out on a fishing trip. Now a diamond ring he tied to a string and lowered it down to the water, and my love divine, she went for his line, and that was the way he caught her. Yes, that was the way he caught her. So I sat and cried into the tide, saying to the clams and whales how I missed my love, her seaweed hair, and the silvery shine of her scales. And then her sister, she swam by and set my heart awhirl, for her upper part was an ugly fish, but the bottom part was girl. Yes, the bottom part was girl. Yes, her knees are pink and rosy, and her toes are small and frail. Her body, it's a work of art, and I love that girl with all my heart. And I don't give a damn about the upper part, and that's how I end my tale.
Well, nobody gives me any static about my voice, Shell told the Chicago Tribune in 1973. They just aren't charmed by it. I don't see anyone running out and buying my records, but I like the way I sing.
Elvis, he's a hero, he's a superstar. They say that Paul McCartney drives a Rolls Royce car. And Dylan sings for millions, I just sing for free. Hey, everybody's making it big for me. Oh,
everybody's making it
big for me.
Everybody's making it.
Everybody's making it big for me.
Everybody's making it.
Diamond, he wears diamonds. Here come Rhinestone me. Cooper's got a foxy chick to wipe off his snake and keep him rich. And Elton John's got two fine ladies. Dr. John's got three. And I'm still seeing them same old sleazos that I used to see. 'Cause
everybody's making it
big for me.
Everybody's making it.
Yeah. Just like Bowie does, and I wear the same mascara that Mick Jagger does. I even put some lipstick on, but that just hurt my dad and mom. And everybody's making it big for me.
Everybody's making it big for me.
making it rain for me.
Everybody Making It Big But Me from Shel Silverstein's 1972 album Freakin' at the Freaker's Ball. Shel continued working, writing, performing music, poetry, cartoons, writing plays, whatever interested him at the time. He was a true artist, and in his biography, written by Lisa Rogak, friends of Shel shared stories of his behavior. He would often drop in on his friends, unannounced and unexpected. While he loved to be out in the nightlife, he would often stay on the perimeter of social circles, nursing a single drink the whole night, if one at all. His friend Ron Halfgein shared a story from when he dropped by Shel's Greenwich Village apartment to pick him up for dinner. Shel was working and asked Ron to wait a while. As Ron shared, "As I sat on the couch waiting, I observed something about him that I have seen many times, but the impact of that first time I have never forgotten. As he worked, hunched over his desk, his long bony fingers drew and redrew each character, and he giggled to himself like a child. They would be quiet for a while, then a burst of laughter. It was as though he were enjoying something that someone else had created especially for him," end quote. Skip Williamson, also a Playboy cartoonist, said of Shel's work, "Shel believed that if you did a drawing and whited it out and redo it, drew it to change something, it was cheating. But then he'd go do a drawing and cut pieces of it apart and rearrange them. But that was okay."
Backward Bill. Backward Bill. Backward Bill. He lives way up on Backward Hill, which is really a hole in the sandy ground, but that's a hill turned upside down. Backward Bill's got a backward shack with a big front porch that's built out back. You walk through the window and look out the door, and the cellar is up on the very top floor. Backward Bill, he rides like the wind, don't know where he's going, but he sees where he's been. His spurs go neigh, and his horse goes clang, and his gun goes gnab, it never goes bang. Backward Bill's got a backward pup. They eat their supper when the sun comes up, and he's got a wife named Backward Lil. She's my own true hit, says Backward Bill. Backward Bill wears his hat on his toes and puts on his underwear over his clothes, and come every payday he pays his boss and rides off smiling, carrying his hoss. Bill were back, Bill were back, he lives on a lil in a shouldn't whack. Bill were back, Bill were back, he's really filly, and that's a sack. A Backward Bill, Backward Bill, lives way up on Backward Hill. Da boop ba ba doo la doo doo da, da boop ba doo da doo da doo doo da, a boop ba ba doo da doo 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 doo.
Well, Big John Henry Rucker, he was a greasy motor trucker, and he drove them big old diesels to L.A. Anytime he'd leave Mobile, his darling wife Camille, she would kiss him in his driveway, and she'd say,
"Don't go to sleep on the road, baby.
I won't.
Don't go to sleep on the road.
Lord, protect me.
Take what it takes."
Uh-huh. Country music for a fling, and well, you know, a girl can't stay too long alone. First for friends and then in bars, then she soon became a star, and sometimes he'd hear her record as he drove. Charts and became number one, and she got Entertainer of the Year, and she got her hair done and got a boob job and got an affair with her bass player, and he got hemorrhoids. He was driving hell for leather through the California weather when that California sky began to rain, and that hill was was wet and steep. Lord, he sure could use some sleep. But his darling's words kept ringing through his brain. That eastbound rig was humming. Lord, he never seen it coming. And he woke up staring at the sky. In the wreck and in the rain, with the radio still playing, and the last words that he heard before he died was Camille still singing.
Don't go to sleep on the road.
What a way to die.
Don't go to sleep on the road.
Oh, just take what it takes to keep you awake.
Oh, but don't go to sleep on the road.
As he went to sleep on the road.
"Go to school today," said little Peggy Ann McKay. "I have the measles and the mumps, a gash, a rash, and purple bumps. My mouth is wet, my throat is dry. I'm going blind in my right eye. My tonsils are as big as rocks. I've counted 16 chicken pox, and there's one more, that's 17. And don't you think my face looks green? My leg is cut, my eyes are blue. It might be instamatic flu. I cough and sneeze and gasp and choke. I'm sure my left leg is broke. My hip hurts when I move my chin. My belly button caving in. My back is wrenched, my ankle sprained, my appendix pains each time it rains. My nose is cold, my toes are numb, I have a sliver in my thumb. My neck is stiff, my spine is weak, I hardly whisper when I speak. My tongue is filling up my mouth, I think my hair is falling out. My elbows bent, my spine ain't straight, my temperature is 108. My brain is shrunk, I cannot hear, there is a hole inside my ear. I have a hangnail, and my Hardies.
What? What's that? What's that you say?
You say today is Saturday? Goodbye. I'm going out to play.
I see you're all alone, sitting at the bar. Can I sit down beside you, blue eyes?
Well, you see, my boyfriend just went into the washroom and he'll be right back. And he's 7 feet tall and he always carries a gun.
Oh, well, if I beat up your boyfriend and I take away his gun and I sit down beside you, can I buy you a drink, blue eyes?
I'm drinking Piper Heitzig champagne that costs $35 a bottle.
Oh, well, if I beat up your boyfriend and I take away his gun and I sit down beside you and I buy a bottle of $35 Piper Heitzig champagne, can I drive you home, blue eyes?
I live in Philadelphia.
Oh, well, if I beat up your boyfriend and I take away his gun and I sit down beside you and I buy a $35 bottle of Piper Heitzig champagne and I drive you to Philadelphia and I walk you to the door, blue eyes.
There's a big moat around my house and it's full of crocodiles and alligators and there's a terrible undertow.
Oh, well, if I beat up your boyfriend and I take away his gun and I sit down beside you and I buy a $35 bottle of Piper Heitzig champagne, I drive you to Philadelphia and I swim across the moat and I avoid the crocodiles and the alligators and I don't get sunk by the undertow, will you ask me to come in, blue eyes?
Well, you see, it's very late and my mother's probably waiting up for me. I think she washed the floor and it's covered with newspapers. And besides, we got this big dog that whenever a stranger comes in, he starts to bark and bite you. And my father's worried about paying off the mortgage on the house, which will cost $5,322. And it's very late and I've got to wash my hair and I have to get up very early for work.
You don't really want me to take you home, do you?
Well, you see, it's very late. My mother's probably waiting up for me.
You don't really want me to take you home.
Well, you see, it's very late.
You don't really like me, do you? You don't really care about me.
Well, you see, it's very late.
Never mind. Forget it.
In the Shell song Everybody's Making It But Me, which we heard a few minutes ago, Shell sings, quote, "They found fame and fortune, and I found Tennessee." He did make a splash in Tennessee, penning songs for Waylon Jennings, Bobby Bear, Johnny Cash, and Loretta Lynn, among others. One of the more popular songs he wrote was called The Taker, which he wrote with Kris Kristofferson, and Waylon Jennings recorded it in 1971.
He's a giver, and he'll give her the kind of attention that she's never known. He's a helper, and he'll help her to open the doors that she can't on her own. He's a lover, and he'll love her in ways that she's never been loved before. He's a getter, and he'll get her by getting her into the world she's been hungry and poor. He's a charmer, and he'll charm her with money and manners that I never learned. He's a leader, and he'll lead her across pretty bridges he's planning to burn. He's a talker, and he'll talk her right off of her feet, but he won't talk for long. 'Cause he's a doer, and he'll do her a way that I'd never. Damned if he won't do her wrong. He's a taker, he'll take her to places and make her fly higher than she's ever dared to. He'll take his time before taking advantage, taking her easy and slow. And after he's taken the body and soul she gives him, he'll take her for granted. Take off and leave her, taking all of her pride when he goes. He's a taker, he'll take her to places and make her fly higher than she's ever dared to. He'll take his time before taking advantage, taking her easy and slow. And after he's taken the body and soul that she gives him, he'll take her for granted.
Shel Silverstein died of a heart attack at his Key West, Florida home on May 9th, 1999. He was 68 years old. Towards the end of his life, his traveling had slowed and he enjoyed spending more time with his son Matthew. Matthew was born in 1983 and was Silverstein's second child. His first child, daughter Shoshana, died in 1982 at the age of 11. The loss was devastating to Shel, who was able to confide in good friend Bobby Bear, who had also lost a young child. His collection, A Light in the Attic, was dedicated to Shoshana, while Falling Up was dedicated to Matthew. In the late 70s, Silverstein also began writing plays, some of which found their way to the stage both before and after his death. Shel once said, "Comfortable shoes and the freedom to leave are the two most important things in life." Despite his tendencies to wander, he surrounded himself with good friends and voiced how important they were to him, especially later in his life. Of the many women who shared his bed, the ones who accepted his ways developed lasting friendships with the men. His large body of work reflects a child at heart, a child with a dark side who despised happy endings. As friend and fellow songwriter Pat Daly summed up, Shel was like a kid on summer vacation. He'd get up in the morning and say, "What am I going to do today?" He never lost the wonder of being a kid.
Well, for a long time now, I've been aware that, like, I'm all right, but, like, the world is square. So I'll tell all you people, you can take my tip, it does not pay to be hip. Now, just last week, I found myself in the red with no way to meet my overhead. So like I went to my buddy and asked him for some bread. And here is what he said. He said, "You want white bread, rye bread, pumpernickel, whole wheat, cracked wheat, holly, or by olly?" I said, "Later." He says, "You mean 3 or 4 o'clock? I said, "Later." He says, "You mean Thursday or Friday?" I said, "Forget it." Now I was feeling uptight, so like I went to see the man. I heard he always had some stuff on hand. I said, "Tell me, baby,
Can you spare some pot? He said, you're welcome to anything I got. And I got steel pots, brass pots, cast iron, aluminum, Pyrex, Windex. I said, cool it. He says, you mean put it in the refrigerator? I said, cool it. He says, you mean turn on the air conditioning? I said, forget it. Now I was feeling strung out and hung up and brought down. There wasn't nobody hip like in the old downtown. So I run up on a chick and she was long and tall, and asked her would she care to ball. And she said football, baseball, volleyball, or basketball, handball, pinball, bowling ball. I said, you're putting me on. She says, on the train, on the plane, on the bus, or on the sidewalk. I said, I want to make it. She says, make what? I said, a scene. I said, I want to make a scene. She says, Shakespeare, Clifford, Odets, Arthur Miller, or Pirandello. I said, forget it. She says, you know what I'd like to do? I said, no, what? She says, I'd like to make love to you. And I says, go, baby, go. And she left.
What if? Last night while I lay thinking here, some what ifs crawled inside my ear and pranced and partied all night long and sang their same old what if song. What if I'm dumb in school? What if they close the swimming pool? What if I get beat up? What if there's poison in my cup? What if I start to cry? What if I get sick and die? What if I flunk that test? What if green hair grows on my chest? What if nobody likes me? What if a bolt of lightning strikes me? What if I don't grow taller? What if my head starts getting smaller? What if the fish won't bite? What if the wind tears up my kite? What if they start a war? What if my parents get divorced? What if the bus is late? What if my teeth don't grow in straight? What if I tear my pants? What if I never learn to dance? Everything seems swell, and then the whispering what ifs strike again.
You may be looking for me, but I ain't looking for you. I'm still looking for myself. And I ain't got time to look for nobody else. When I find who I am and where I am, and if you come around again, maybe then, baby, maybe then, me. But honey, can't you see? I don't know where the hell I'm going. How can I know your mind when I don't even know my own? Now when the road gets tougher, when I've had enough, or maybe when I reach the end, maybe then, maybe, maybe then. So stick around or go away, whichever one you choose. You ain't got a single thing that I think I can use, and you and I ain't shared a thing that I'm afraid to lose. You say that you love me, but I don't love you. I love someone I never seen, and she lives in a place that I never been. When I realize it's all in my eyes, just one great big pretend. Maybe then, maybe then, maybe then, maybe then, maybe then, but I won't say when. Maybe then, baby, maybe then.
Listen to the mustn'ts, child. Listen to the don'ts. Listen to the shouldn'ts. the impossibles, the won'ts. Listen to the never-haves, then listen close to me. Anything can happen, child. Anything can be.
Shouldn't leave you on a sexy note. Should leave you on a provocative, mentally stimulating, timely. Oh, they're testing the bomb. As I'm singing this song, they say not to worry, 'cause nothing can go wrong. They're testing the bomb as I'm singing this song. They say not to worry, 'cause nothing can...
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.